Oh, come on, Lord Jesus. What was that word you said? Just really hitting me. What was that word? The one you gave in the beginning, you said this year. New beginnings, that was it. Come on, new beginnings. Come on, why don't you just begin to hold out? I know we did this, but I want to continue to do this. Hold out your hands and just say, Lord, I receive the new beginnings and the newness that you have for me this year. I receive it, Lord Jesus. But by faith, I take hold of the word that you released this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't felt it yet. I haven't experienced it perhaps yet. But Lord, I receive it in faith that whatever you have for me, I receive. Because you are good, you're loving, you're kind. And Lord, you're the God of love. You're the God of breakthrough. You're the God of salvation, kindness, humility, gentleness, self-control. I receive everything that you have for me for this year, Lord. We receive it. Sharababa. Shaba. And just breathe it in, guys. Just receive it. Just receive it. More, Lord. More of your rule and your reign in my life. Here's the thing. As you said, speaking about new breakthroughs, right? I just want you to know this before we get into Philippians. And you can turn to Philippians in the meantime. The book of Philippians. If you'd like to, and you have a Bible, and you want to, go to the book of Philippians. If you want to use your cell phone, by all means, please do. But I really sense that the river is here for you. The river is here for you. Now, I don't really need to explain this because everyone in this room I know. But let me just do it just to be as clear as I can be this morning. The river is the presence of God. It's His Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit goes and does what He wants. And so the river is here for you to jump into and to go with the flow. A little while ago, I saw a wave coming. And I saw people surfing the wave. You can surf the wave and jump in the river and go with the flow. Or you can watch everybody else getting wet and suntan on the side if you want. It's really up to you. I don't mind which one you choose. I would like you to jump in the river. I love you enough to allow you to make the choice. I'm not one of those guys that's going to get up and say, you need to jump in the river. You know what I mean? I mean, I would love to do that. I mean, I want to do that. Okay, jump in the river, people. Okay, you know, but that's not the vibe, right? What I want you to do, I want to invite you into the river. Now you're saying, Sheldon, what are you talking about? It's simple. What is Holy Spirit doing? That's where I want to be. In other words, whose spirit is it? Jesus, Abba Daddy, Father God, whatever terminology you want to use. But it is God's Spirit, Holy Spirit. He's called the river of life. He's called fire. He's called wind. He's called that. But I really sense that there's a river that God wants you to jump into and go with the flow. You guys, I've been there with you. I know you know what I'm talking about when I say, climb on your little rubber, what are those boats things? What are they called? Thank you, raft. I'll take a raft. Climb in your raft and go down the river. You can sit there with your cool drink and you can, sorry, your pop, your soda, whatever you want to call it. You can sit there and you can go like, hey, check it out, man. I'm moving. I'm going nicely. This is fun. You don't do anything. You can just sit and let the river do the work. Just go with the river. Let the river do the work and enjoy the ride. And I just sense, I'm so glad about these words that came out. You know, Marion, I enjoyed it. Marion stood right here and she said, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. And my series that I'm going to be doing over the next while is on the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is simply this, found in Philippians, in the book of Philippians. It's mentioned 16 times in 4 chapters. And guess who wrote it? Our good friend Paul. And guess where he wrote it? In prison. This was somebody who understood the joy of God in prison. I want you to know something this morning. If you feel like you're in a prison, you can still experience the joy of the Lord. And I want you to know if you feel like you're in a prison, you can still give other people encouragement and joy. Because that's what Paul did. And if you feel like you're in a prison, I want you to know something else. It has not chained the gospel. And I'm not just talking about preaching unto salvation. I'm talking about the full gospel. It is not chained, the word of God. You may feel like you're in that space, but you are not chained. I want you to know, no matter what your physical life may feel like, you're chained for now. But there's two things I want you to know that Paul talks about. One, Paul says, no matter how I feel right now, I can experience the joy, and I'm going to get into that now in a second. But two, Paul continues to talk about, and we'll get into this over the next few weeks. He continues to say this, I wait for the deliverance of my Lord. And I want to read you a scripture as we begin. You know, everybody in this world goes around thinking about, how can I be happy? Can I get 150,000 followers? Is my Facebook post about me brushing my teeth being watched? How many likes did I get? Did I get a lot of gifts for Christmas? Am I successful here? And the whole point of what Paul was trying to talk about in Philippians is simply this. He's bringing a massive, stark contrast between, or difference, or however you want to look at that. He's bringing that and he's saying this. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy is dependent on a person called Christ. And so here's the thing. There is no one on earth that can experience true joy outside of Christ. You can experience a level of joy, a level of happiness, to a certain degree, but you cannot get what true good joy is outside of God and His kingdom ruling and reigning in you via Holy Spirit. It is not possible. The world out there that does not know Jesus doesn't know joy the way we are able to. They have no access without Christ, without Him. They have no access to true joy. And this is what Paul is wanting to talk about in Philippians. He's beginning to show you what true joy looks like. And he deals with it in four areas. But let me put a scripture up first. It's called supernatural joy because it is not a joy that you can work up. I love this. You can read this. It's in Philippians 3, 8 to 10. I'm starting in chapter 1, but I'm just beginning for 3 because I want you to catch the heart of Paul in this when he says this. What is more, I consider everything a loss. Isn't that crazy? Compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I was in the all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found where? In Him. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. Now, I'm not going to expound this one this morning, but I want you just to catch something as I begin to get into Philippians. In chapter 1, I want you to catch the heart of Paul. Paul is not saying, I consider everything not as good. I consider everything kind of not as good. He says, I consider everything a loss compared to knowing Jesus. He will lose everything because he knows that everything is found in Christ. John 10:10. I've come to give life and life in abundance. It is in Christ and he knows it. He considers it absolute rubbish. I don't know that I'm there yet. That I consider everything rubbish compared to just knowing Christ. I'd like to think I'm better than what I used to be. And I keep asking God every day, Lord, help me to be able to know everything is rubbish compared to you. I believe that I'll be, and maybe this is for you too, I believe that I'll be a whole lot of a different person if I'm in that place. When everything is rubbish to me. When everything is a loss to me. It's like, I'll lose it, man. I'll just lose it. I'll let it go compared to knowing you. So there's four areas I want to just deal with over the next while. It's joy in suffering, which I'll deal with this morning very briefly, and next week probably. Joy in serving. Joy in believing, and joy in giving, generosity of spirit. That's what Paul talks about in Philippians, in those four major topics there. And I'll begin to talk about how that affects us. So let's move on. Let's begin at Philippians 1 from verse 6, guys, because it kind of covers it from there on. It says, being confident in this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me read that one more time for you. I know it's up there. Being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, that's why I spoke about this about 3 weeks ago now. When Paul had his Damascus encounter on the road, he asked two questions. One of the questions was, who is this? I constantly ask God, who are you? We should constantly be asking God, Lord, who are you? Now you may go like, well, that's a weird thing to ask. You know, the Bible tells you. And I'm like, whoa, but I want that reality sown in here and sown in here. I want to know this God. You see, Paul knew. That's why he could say something like this. Being confident in this. His relationship with God was so intimate, he was confident in God. No matter what the circumstances did, you see, if it's reliant on circumstances where my happiness and my pleasure comes from, your happiness and your pleasure will change all the time. Guaranteed. I've been there. And I know you have. But when it's in Christ, there is something supernatural about it. Because he is supernatural. I'm going to get to more of that now in a second. You see, I find myself in, I say, Lord, put me in you. I know I'm in him, but I ask him to put me in him more so that the reality becomes more in me. I know I'm there. In my brain, I know I'm in him and he's in me. I get that. But I want the reality to hit me more. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why I say more, Lord. I don't say more because I'm at a deficit of him. I say more because I want him to have more control in me. I want a deeper relationship. I want more of God to rule and reign in me. I'm like, I know he's in me, but I need less of me, more of him. Okay? Paul was confident that he knew God. And there's another thing. He talks about this. He says that he who began a good work. Now, Jesus, elsewhere in the Bible, talking to the rich young ruler who comes and meets him. I'm sorry about my voice, guys. Okay, is it okay? Good. Jesus says elsewhere, he says this. He says, no one is good except God. What is it telling me when I read this? Being confident, number one, I know my Lord. I'm intimate with him. That he who began a good work, who began the good work? Okay, so who is the only one who can do good work in me? God. Who begins it? Who's the Alpha? And who's the Omega? God. It's him who starts it, and it's him who finishes it. And it's him who's in between. You see, Paul was confident of that. He was confident of the fact that when God begins to work in my life, he does not leave me alone. He was confident of the fact that he knows God to the point that God will never leave me. And as I say, Lord Jesus, I just want to know you more. And Lord Jesus, I'm confident that as I chose you as Lord and Savior of my life, and as I invited you in, you began a good work and you will complete it one day when you return. It will be fully completed. But right now, you're continually working in my life and through my life. And that is great news. What that means is that you have full access to the river of God all the time. You have full access to everything that's Abba Daddy's in heaven in you all the time. Now, I preach that very boldly, and I see it in my life often. I don't see it as much as I want to, but I see it often. And I know you do too, because I've heard the testimonies. I love this also, because there's something else I just want to just follow my train of thinking for a second. 1 John 4 says that God is. I think it's up there. Just put the next one up quick. Yeah, 1 John 4 verse 16 says, God is love. Now, what is, as and so we know and rely, listen, and so we what? What's the first word, and so we? know. And that word, by the way, if you look at it in other aspects, is fellowshipping, knowing, intimacy. So we know and rely on God, right? On the love God has for us. Okay? God is love. It kind of stops right there. It says, I rely on the love God has for me, and then he stops and says, God is love, by the way. He's making a point of telling you that God's summation of all his character, his motivation, and everything else is his love. It's like set right in between the scripture. And then he carries on to say, whoever lives in love, okay? Now stop again. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Whoever lives in love. It's not saying you've now got to go and work really hard at trying to be a lover. It's saying we know and rely on God's love who works in us mightily. And so I can now go live in love because he's working in and through me. All I've got to do is invite it in, jump in the river, and follow. That's my role. I'm not trying to work it up. I'm not trying to stir that love in me. None of that. I'm allowing God to put that love in me and grow it in me. That's why it's supernatural. If it was natural, it would be up to you and me. It's not. It's up to God. Mine is the choice and the following the lead of the Spirit. That's mine. He carries on to say, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And there it's saying it basically in another way. And this is amazing. I love watching this and going, what on earth is going on here? Like, man, I need Jesus. I'm saved, but man, I need Jesus. I need Spirit. I'm going to live one day forever, but man, I need his Spirit now more than ever. Tell me something. If God is love, what is Holy Spirit? Thank you. In fact, in that way, in Galatians 5, where it speaks about it, it's actually putting it in the context of saying Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. What's one of the first things it speaks about after it shows that Holy Spirit is love? What's one of the first things it speaks about that Holy Spirit is? The fruits of the Spirit. Love. Joy. This morning I'm talking about joy, and I'm relaying what Paul's saying. There is no way, unless you know the love of the Father for you and for others, there's no way you're going to be walking in the power of the joy of the Spirit. Let me say that again. Unless you know that you are fully loved by God and everyone else around you, warts and all. Listen, that's why I say to God every single day of my life, we were talking about the other day, sharing myself, I say, Lord, I want to know your love. And I want to know your love for me. And I want to know your love for others. Because then I begin to understand the power of joy flowing in my life. Now you're going, what? How are you connecting that? Easily. Because the fruit which grows where? On the outside of you or on the inside of you? On the inside of you. Whose Holy Spirit is it? God's Spirit. Right? When Jesus walked on the face of the planet, did he walk in his godly power or in the power of the Spirit? Power of the Spirit. He laid down his godly rights. And he walked in the power of the Spirit. That's why he was fully man and fully God. I'm not going to get into that teaching this morning, but you got it. So now he's walking in the joy of the Lord. Because he's walking in love. You see, love does activate joy. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a relationship with someone, and when you're in a relationship with them, have you ever felt when you're like, and I'm talking about a healthy relationship here, so just, when I fall in love with someone, do I feel unhappy about it? Do I feel sad about it? No. I'm full of joy. You see, it's very similar. When I'm in Christ, I'm in joy. And there's another word that's great. When you're in Christ, and this is the key scripture in the whole of Philippians, rejoice. And I say it again. I like looking at it this way. Rejoice. Re-joy. 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 You always can walk in joy when you're in God. So unless we are found in that love, we can't express that love. And unless we are found in that love, it's difficult for us to walk in the fullness of joy. You can walk in aspects of that joy, no problem, but you'll run dry without him. Therefore, let me encourage you. You want joy? You want Holy Spirit to rule and reign in you? Say, Lord, I want the Spirit of love to rule and reign in me. One of the things, I just want to say one other thing, me personally, I'm not putting this on you. I'm not saying this is going to be your experience. I'm saying this was my experience. I always say to God, help me to see other people the way you see them. And then I say this, help me to have a heart for them, the heart that you have for them. The reason I say that is because no matter how terrible a person can be, and this is not actually the main reason, I'll tell you my main reason now, but no matter how terrible a person can be to me, I can still find joy in that relationship. Isn't that crazy? That you can find joy in a really difficult relationship? It doesn't mean you get rid of your boundaries. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean you don't deal with things. Don't get me wrong. We'll talk about that another time. But what it means is that when I ask God, help me to see, help me to feel what you see and feel for that person, no matter what they're lashing out at me with, I can look past that. And that's incredible. And only God can do that. It's supernatural. It is not natural for Sheldon Miller. I don't want to. Sometimes I think people are donkey's bottoms because they don't treat me well all the time, or at least the way I want them to. But when I say, Lord, what are you doing? What do you see? Who are they? What can I call out in them? It begins to give me joy and hope and faith. Because now when I see them and they walk in the room and they're like, I'm like, it's okay. I see past all of that. Because the heart of Abba Daddy's bigger. You see how I'm joyful now? Now no matter what guy stands around me, he's like, I'm like, okay. I love you. Because I've said to God, show me how much you love me and always help me to see other people the way you see them and help me to feel what you feel for them. And you see, what does that have to do with joy? Well, I've explained that. You see, Paul walked in joy because he knew God. He knew the love of God. That's why he could take on so many enemies being thrown at him. That's why he could take beatings and whippings. And he was thrown in jail. Why? Because he knew his Abba Daddy loved him and cared for him. He could take those things. He could sit in jail and encourage the church. He could sit in jail and encourage the church while he's in jail. Encouraging a church that's free out there and doing well, he's encouraging them. What the heck? Do you think I would do that? I don't know. You know, maybe. I don't know. But probably I'd be sitting in jail and saying, woe is me, and cry. And probably punching my hand into a wall for a while just to get the frustration out of how unfairly I'm treated. Something. But my joy rises when I'm found in the love of the Father. When I'm found in God's love, my joy rises. And so for me, and I'm encouraging you, I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, request of the Father to always put more joy in you, which means asking him to reveal more the depths of Abba Daddy's love to you. Okay, then I want to end with this last section. Christ is complete joy. And we'll move next week on to the rest. But here's another thing I want you to understand. When Christ died on the cross, and by the way, let me just say this quickly, for the men specifically in the room, I'm not saying become like this, like pushover. I'm saying walk in the power of God. Shift the atmospheres. Begin to allow Holy Spirit to lead you and dictate what should happen in a situation rather than your natural instinct. Allow that to happen. There's no weakness in that. In fact, I can tell you this. You'll feel a lot more empowered and strengthened by that because you'll be sensing the flow of the Father in you more than ever before because you've understood that love. I'm asking you for the love of the Father to work in you. So that you release the kingdom into place, you shift the atmosphere, and you begin to usher in the supernatural joy into a place. The world, this nation, and the world will be different if us as guys can stand up and live in that power. I know I'm a bit off topic for a second, but let me draw it back in. Ladies, it doesn't matter what you look like, how you feel. It matters what Abba Daddy tells you. Yes, of course, we want to look after ourselves because we're temples of the Holy Spirit. We want to look after ourselves. But I want the ladies in the room to know this, that you're fully loved and cared for, and you are actually really good. I know in today's world, in the Instagram world, Facebook world, the world puts these things on you, ladies, that you've got, oh, listen, the beauty that you have is found in God. Your joy will come when you know how much God, Abba Daddy, loves you, and that you're so loved by Him and so perfect in that way, that when you look at yourself, you go, I am fancy. Because Daddy says I'm fancy. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't stop brushing your hair and doing all the things girls do. Ladies and gentlemen, your joy is found in Him because you know you're loved. Because joy is found in Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. Is that clear? Jesus Christ has won that already for us. When He died on the cross, He gave us access to supernatural joy that we can't find anywhere else. Who knows that Christ is never unhappy or unjoyful? Because His love is all-encompassing. That means sadness, happiness, anger, all that is found in love. Therefore, joy is also in the fullness of that, which means that God can always live in joy in all the other feelings. So here's the thing. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you have the ability and the resource to always be in joy. The only way the enemy can steal your joy, let me just say this quickly, the only way the enemy can steal your joy is when he convinces you that you're not in Christ. And he keeps you focused on that. Whatever it is you focus on or behold, that's the thing that's going to be talking to you all the time. Okay? If you hold on to a grudge, the grudge will teach you to be out of joy. If you hold on to the fact that you'll never ever get out of the difficult situation that you're in, that thing will become your idol. Whatever it is you keep your focus on and feeds you, that's the nutrients you're going to get. You see, you want new beginnings? You want new things in your life? Get a new perspective. Invite Holy Spirit to do something in you that you can't do. Let me end with a scripture. Verse 11. Can we go to verse 11 quick? Filled with the fruit of what? Righteousness that comes through who? Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Filled. Paul says, be continually filled with what? Fruit. Where else do we find fruit in the Bible? Fruit of the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. How do I know that? Because it's righteousness. What does righteousness mean very, very quickly? Right standing with God. Through who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's Spirit fills me, gives me righteousness, and I begin to walk in the fruit. One of those expressions of the fruit is joy. And this begins to give glory and praise to our Lord. Isn't that good?